So, we're all here on a cold day in Bridport. We're actually in Bridport Museum, trying to keep warm. And we're here especially to talk about one of the town's great creative individuals from the last century, and that person is George Byles, who became well-known and well-loved as a sign writer, particularly pub signs. He was, by all accounts, an amazing artist and meticulous craftsman, and he left a long legacy in Bridport in terms of surviving artwork, and in terms of the people that he inspired through his working life and through his artwork that's been seen since. So I'm very lucky to be here with Ken Allen, who has a good connection with George when he started in his own sign writing career. So George was an influence to you, he was an inspiration to you. How did you first meet George Byles?
I first knew of him when I was 18 years old, coming in through Bridport, spotting a window and thinking to myself, oh, I like that. So I hopped out, went across the road and had a look at what I'd seen. And that was the first thing that ever inspired me. Mm. Unfortunately, it was 14 years later when I met up with him. He was the grand age of 80 then. So I did have approximately 7 years with him, extracting as much information as I could from him, because I didn't want all that to go down into the ground without me knowing. Palmer's was his local brewery, as you know, but he did do a lot of signs for Devonish and Groves,
yeah,
who had pubs in Cornwall, Devon, Somerset, and a lot in Dorset.
So all the big chains in the area and beyond?
Yeah, well, like I say, about, as far as I know, at least 12 breweries, to my knowledge. But I did realise how busy a man that he was. So I felt that by towing the line and only going down every 3 or 4 weeks to see him, which I kept up right through the 7 years. Up until he died.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
You went every 3 or 4 weeks to kind of spend time with him. And correct. He would talk to you, or would he show you things?
He would not only talk to me, he would if I had a problem, say like with trees or landscape, he would say, stand there, son, and watch this. And he had this little piece of scrap board, and he would do a few bushes and trees. And that was an inspiration to me than anything, because I used to take that back to Yeovil and practice. As I rightly say, that he was apprenticed to F.R. Barrett, who was builders and decorators at the time, and the proprietor, Mr. Barrett, he was the actual sign writer, but George couldn't have thought very much of it, because when he seen this sign, he said, no, he said, I can do better than that, and he did. They were like a conveyor belt, actually.
Right.
I was told by his apprentice, James Hallett, that signs used to come in and signs used to go out pretty quickly as well. Yes?
Yeah.
And I suppose the pub signs is, we've got such a wonderful array with some pictures here of all the different ones, but I'm just drawn to ask you, Ken, about this one, the Royal Oak.
That's correct.
So that was the last sign that George created,
yeah,
the last pub sign.
George died when that sign was painted one-sided. So I went down and they asked me to take that back to Yeovil and redo the other side, like, you know, in the same way as George had done that sign.
So this is a pub sign, Royal Oak. Is that Royal Oak in Bridport?
No, Charmouth.
In Charmouth.
Top of
and
Charmouth.
There's obviously a picture of a beautiful oak tree and then some writing as well on there.
That's right.
So you reversed that and did the opposite,
yes,
side?
Yes, yeah.
And neither of you got your signatures on there?
No.
Why is that?
No. Well, I didn't feel that I was worthy of putting my signature on there, because George had started it. That was George's design. And as far as I was concerned, I wasn't going to take any credit at all for doing the other side.
Mm.
I wanted him, but there, he didn't sign it, so he couldn't, you know,
so it's a shared
credit.
Thing, yeah.
It was a shared thing.
Yeah, and nicely humble as well. It's not about showing off or
no,
having your name
no,
known
no,
in his time or outside his time,
no,
but this is
no,
just...
He was a traditionalist,
mm-hmm,
so if you gave him a name, say like the Master Thatcher, then he would look up his drawings and see what he'd got, and then do a full-scale drawing of it, get it approved by the brewery, and then if it was approved, fine, he'd carry on and do a painting of it, like, for them. And and so on, like, you know. So you're talking about a great array of sign brushes. Mm-hmm. You're not just talking about the sable brushes, you're talking about the very wide ranging brushes, because there's different areas on a painting where you need different brushes. The amount of detail and workmanship that George put into his signs, only people like myself would know what went into those signs. People, customers and that go in pubs, they just look at a sign and think, oh yeah. But if you realise what detail went into that, and this was where his artisan ways came from, like, you know, the artisticness was in those signs. I'll give you an example, the Traveller's Rest up between Bridport and Dorchester.
Yeah.
That was a phenomenal sign. Coach and Horses, one side,
yeah,
which was good enough, but on the other side was an old vintage car. Now, I actually traced over that sign to get it exactly right. And the amount of detail that went into the bottom part of this car was quite phenomenal.
You worked on community projects, didn't you? Another kind of artistic way. I'm thinking of Bridport Pantomime in particular. Wasn't he involved in there?
Yes. He'd done all the background scenery for Bridport Dramatic Society. And the best of my knowledge, he never charged anything for any of that work. Now, that was spoken to me by Mr. Dan Roberts, who was the executor to Mr. Biles's will when he died. That was one of the things he pointed out to me, that there was no charge for any of that work whatsoever.
And yet he was probably the best in the country in terms of doing it. Obviously, Palmer signs in there, so how do we still have these, apart from the one or two that are hanging still and surviving, yeah, how do we still have...
But there was an understanding with Palmer's Brewery, apparently, that with the father of John Cleves, that all signs had to come back to the brewery, the old signs, mm-hmm, to be stored up in the loft next to the carpenter's shop. And those signs are still there today. I've seen other sign writers work, but it haven't got the clarity that the Bridport Sign Services had.
Conscious of the quality of his work, very conscientious about doing his work, he didn't really, from what you were saying, didn't say no to anything, wanted to allow people from all kinds of walks of life to paint signs for them.
Yeah. I mean, anybody that come in off the street, if they had a job to do regarding any sort of sign, he would do it, and he wouldn't let them down.
Right.
He had, as you rightly say, the sign service studios was a service to everybody across the board. Well, when, as I've said before, when George died, I kept ringing down to Bridport because it was my turn to come down every 3 weeks, and I thought, that's funny, not getting no reply. And the actual inevitable did cross my mind. Anyway, I thought to myself, right, no reply, I better get down to Bridport. Anyway, I do remember George used to go round to a relative's house for one meal a day. That's all he used to live on, basically. And I went round to that address, and they said, cool, we've been waiting for somebody like you to come along. And I said, can we go over to the sign studio? I said, yes, please. Right, well, when we got round there, I could see that, like, you know, what was needed. The executor wanted the studio cleared. I'd done my level best to clear it with the big easel, which the pair of us would have a job to carry, actually.
Really, that big?
But it was a studio easel, and it must have weighed more than 100 weight. But anyway, we managed to get it on board of my brother's van with all the drawings stacked in the back of the van, and just basically transported everything back to Yeovil. Because I knew that it was safer with me, somebody who appreciated the work that he'd put in over the years, like, you know. So I was pleased to have it, and I've still got it now. And he'd go up on scaffolding to paint pictorial work. Mm. I'm thinking in terms of Weymouth now, that there was a spray of carnations up there. And what he was most worried about was the scaffolding was moving like that. And his brush was moving like that. But what it was, when he looked down, he could see a child swinging on the scaffolding, which was basically, he had to shout down and say, here, stop that nonsense. I'm trying to work up here. But what I'm saying is, those little coats of arms are no bigger than that. And yeah. yet he could turn his hand around 10 times the size of that, like 20 times.
And one of the pictures, Gemma, you showed me is up at the town hall clock.
St Mary's Church.
Oh, I beg your pardon, that was St Mary's Church clock. Yeah, and what was he doing up there then?
He would have repainted the numbers to make them fresh and then gilded them again.
So fitting, really, that he did get involved in, you know, someone that's so rooted in Bridport, lived his whole life, schooled in Bridport, educated here, making signs through the war years and the Black Down, and then having apprentices working for him, that he's got to do this spirit of Bridport. So it feels like he is a spirit of Bridport, really. And it's great to be able to talk about him and to see, you know, some of the works that he's left as a legacy, and to hear from you two, really, a little bit more about how his process might have worked and how you've been inspired by him and taken on his mantle.